Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays will play for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
Woo! For King G, where comfort is king.
2, 3, 4. Hey, ho, let's go.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Yes, welcome, welcome, welcome. Lovely to have your company. A Saturday afternoon. Plenty of footy this afternoon as well. And into this evening. Obviously, the huge game, the Roosters and the Eels, is tonight. But the Dragons and the Titans at 3 o'clock. There's been a bit of action already. The Knights 27 over the Brisbane Broncos 6. What's going on there? South Sydney 40, the Warriors 12, and the Panthers 21 beat Melbourne 14. MG is going to join us very shortly. Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler are with me, Tony Squires, and it's lovely to have the company of both of you. You'd be having, man, a little bit of strut as you walked in, Ryan Girdler.
Have I?
As opposed to other weeks? I think he's got a strut most weeks when he walks in.
Do you think?
It's not as much as Dell's strut, though.
It's way too early to have a strut, Tone, but mm-hmm. I've enjoyed the last 3 weeks of what I've seen with the Penny Panthers. It's good.
He's a Dragons fan. I'm just barely walking upright again now.
Yeah.
You had a win.
I had a win.
Yeah, you're on your way.
I had a strut all week.
And you got a big opportunity this afternoon. We're going to call that game at 3 o'clock.
But I just think the turnaround for me has been just enormous after what we witnessed last year, the early season form of the Panthers and the issues that they have. And they've obviously made a few changes to their roster. One, obviously, really big one in Api Korosau and what he provides for that team. But the personnel are pretty similar.
Yep.
Coaching staff pretty similar. Not much has changed, but we've got a different footy team, and I don't know how it's happened, but I'm bloody happy with it.
Yeah,
and pretty young side still when you think about it. I mean, Jerome Luai, you've got young Crichton as well. There's a lot of players that only got their debuts last year, and I mean, Ivan Cleary's done a tremendous job with them. And I mean, to get one over Melbourne in a typically un-Melbourne like performance, it's happy days for the Panthers.
I don't know, you know, we'll go into that game a little bit later on, Tone. But, I don't know if it was un-Melbourne. Like, I think I've seen sort of Melbourne perform like that a lot over the last couple of seasons, you know, without stability in some of those key positions. And I just think Penrith last night just had had a better appetite for contact for a longer period. And I, you know what, I said it last week against Parramatta as well. I thought they won that battle in the middle against Parramatta, but they obviously lost the game with some, you know, some inexperience out wide or whatever that may have been. But I thought they bullied the Melbourne Storm last night, who have got a great reputation as a pack and a good footy side, but I thought they rattled them.
Yeah, they got plenty of size as well in that Melbourne pack, haven't they? But someone like Viliami Kikau was just amazing, you know, wearing that possum on his head.
He got a bit bit wider, a bit fluffier this week, do you think?
The hairdo.
The hairdo.
Yeah.
I love it.
I don't know.
I love it. And I love what
you
he
might
did.
Have conditioned it, I think. A little treatment in the hair, I'd say. When you do that, it gets a little bit more fluffy.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've got so much to
working
get in
for him anyway.
There are so many good talking points across the 3 hours. 1-333-53 is our number if you want to get involved. Sterlo's going to join us at 2 o'clock. We are going to speak with Josh Mansell. We're also going to catch up with Cameron Murray as well. Jacob Saifiti, it's just an absolutely full dance card.
Right.
Next, though, it is the story that people are talking about. The pictures last night of Latrell Mitchell seeming in distress as he left the field after a win and after what we have to say was another terrific performance from Latrell Mitchell. But then in the dressing room being consoled by Coach Wayne Bennett, who wasn't happy with the media asking what was going on. We're going to get there next. It is the Saturday Scrum. Thanks, King G. Triple M just rocking the footy on a Saturday afternoon, and it's great pleasure to welcome MG back. Buddy, how are you?
Tone, hi M, hi Gerds.
Did you understand the gym has reopened and you're back amongst it? Is that true?
Yeah, Saturday sessions were there this morning and at 7, 8 o'clock, and I'm ready for action, ready for 3 hours of fun with you guys.
How good.
Yeah, that is good.
See, that's the vibe we need.
Yeah.
The endorphins are flowing.
Wow. Must get back to the gym.
Come out, I'll give you free membership.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm there. All right, this is the story that people have been talking about, as we said last night. Wayne Bennett talking about Latrell Mitchell. Now, he made his way off the field, and he was visibly upset And as I pointed out at the top, this is after a sensational performance from him. We'll get to the game thing in a minute. But he was upset about something. Now, then back in the press conference, and we saw, first of all, we saw in the dressing room through those cameras that have been there for a long time now, we saw Wayne Bennett consoling Latrell. And now then he was asked about it in the press conference. Let's have a listen to what the super coach had to say.
Well, it's got nothing to do with it, to be honest with you.
He just was visibly upset.
And well, he may well have been, but it's got nothing to do with you. The change room, to me, has always been a sacred place. Unfortunately, the game gave away a lot of our rights to those places, but in my mind and my headset, it's a place where we can go and be who we want to be and not have to answer to anybody about it.
The fans would love to know. They love
Well, the fans love to know a lot of things that we don't tell them, OK? So they won't be disappointed. They'll understand my position with it.
Hannah Hollis asking the questions from Fox League. The sanctity of the dressing room. Is Wayne Bennett believing in a dream that is long gone in terms of the sanctity of the dressing room? Those pictures we've been getting through for the punters. The punters have been allowed into the dressing room for a long time now. What did you make of it, MG?
Well, I think we are one of the only sports in the world that allows cameras in the dressing room. And I can't think of any others off the top of my head where I see players in the dressing room. So, look, I think Wayne Bennett had every right to defend Latrell. I think Hannah Hollis had every right as a journo to ask the question. But I don't think the access to the inner sanctum of a dressing room, I think, is a privilege that us at home get to see. And while we saw what we saw last night, obviously something personal is going on. It means that rugby league isn't always about winning 2 points at the end of the day. Something's going on, and I think we've got to tread carefully about it because Wayne Bennett knew what was going on. Latrell obviously was upset about something. Hannah Hollis saw that when he was walking off the field, he was in tears. So, again, back to the journo side of it, she had every right to say what she did. And I think Wayne Bennett had every right for that rebuttal. The dressing room for me is sacred because so many things go on in there that I think players don't want the outside world to see. Sometimes they hide. Sometimes they dance in front of it. Like, everyone's different. But when we see someone obviously in distress, like we saw Latrell last night, I found it really disturbing, to be honest, that I saw we see a guy who's seemingly at the top of his game, but obviously he's not because something was troubling him. He just won 40-6 against the Warriors. And, it was really an odd situation because I'd never been confronted like that before as an ex-player. You see blokes celebrating, you see them, you know, singing the song, but when you see someone in so much discomfort after a game, I almost wanted the cameras to switch off.
Wow. Okay.
And that's because I don't know what's going on in his life, and I don't think we should know what's going on in his life because it's personal.
Is it none of our business? I mean, there's a lot of things that go on in rugby league that are none of our business. We know how much people are being paid. That's none of our business. Yeah, we know it. We know their political stance it's none of our business, but they tell us. This is something that's in the dressing room. The dressing room has cameras now and has had for some time, as we've talked about. It's part of what is a value added in terms of the broadcast partners because we do get that access and that money is then passed on to the players as well.
Yeah, I agree with MG. I think it is a privilege to be able to get that access and see what is going on and whether there's players, you know, fist pumping each other or a coach yelling or whatever it may be. But again, sure, the players get paid a lot of money and they're in the spotlight and they've got this fame, but they're not so much of their private lives gets put out in the media. There's not a lot of privacy particularly when you're a player like Latrell Mitchell. And when he was so visibly distressed, there's obviously something going on, whether it be in his family life or something like that. It's clearly not game related because they just pumped the Warriors and he played well. So it's something personal. And I think they should be able to have that privacy. I think Hannah Hollis, again with MG, had every right to ask that question because naturally fans sitting at home, when I saw that vision, I thought, oh, I wonder what is wrong with Latrell. But they also have the right to keep at least some element of their private lives still private when we know so much about them and what was going on. And I think
that's
particularly
true,
but with the work everyone is doing in the mental health space as well. I think we need to respect that if someone is struggling mentally and they have some issue going on, it doesn't have to become all of a sudden something that the whole world knows about. If Latrell's struggling with something, He should be able to do that.
Aren't we now, isn't everybody now just speculating what's going on rather than having some kind of answer?
If I were Wayne, I would
everybody going, I wonder what it is.
The thing is, I would have preferred, honestly, Wayne Bennett just to say, look, it's not game related. It's a private matter. Yeah. So look, with all due respect, I think we need to leave it as a private matter, and hopefully the fans understand that. I think,
but then it doesn't get left them. That's the problem, and I think that's why Wayne Bennett comes out, and he's made a career out of protecting his players and getting the best out of people. And you know, where does and I agree with you guys. You know, it's a sacred place, the dressing room, but it's also a place now that everyone has access. So therefore, questions are going to be asked, as what Hannah asked to Wayne. And what if then Wayne come out and said it's a personal issue? Now then, doesn't then that get, you know, polarised, and then don't people then go digging around his personal life? And doesn't that just open the door for the media to get into another part of his or another space?
And the thing is, it will come out. Someone's going to dig.
What if there's, and this is another perspective on it, and I was talking to Tony about it earlier. I mean, this guy, for what is he, 21, 22 years old now? He's one of the highest profile players we have in our game. He holds, you know, a really powerful position in the Indigenous community, which I really respect him for doing. It's something at his age that he doesn't have to do, but he chooses to because it means so much to him. He just made a big life decision last year to leave a club that he had a lot of success at, that he was really comfortable with, to take himself out of that environment and put him in a club that, you know, probably was looking for, you know, him to have an opportunity and play a different position, and a very daunting position it is to transition to as well when you haven't been there. And what if, and he puts a lot of pressure on himself, and you speak to the guys that he's played with and trains with, and they say that he's highly competitive. Now, every game at the start of the year that he played in, everyone was critical of because they said he wasn't fit enough, he wasn't prepared and whatever. So he carries that along with all the other stuff that he does, like, you know, when he goes for a coffee and there's people taking photos and all this sort of stuff. Now, he might have chosen this path, and there's people say, well, if he doesn't want the money and he doesn't want the fame, well, he should go and play a different game. He's been given a gift. And he's got to use that, and he's gonna go down this path, and it's gonna be a bumpy path at times, and he's gonna be up and down, and we're all gonna go on that ride with him as we are at the moment. But what if, after all this scrutiny and the 6 months that he's had over the last couple of weeks, he's seen progress and he's seen some reward for the effort and what he's been through, and he was exhausted at the end of the game, and he's come off and he sat down and he had a little moment to himself where he was just a bit upset because he might have been really proud of what he's been able to achieve. I was really proud of him last night because I sat there and the game sort of, you know, after about 40 minutes with MG, it was over. So I just watched Latrell and I watched what he was actually doing off the ball defensively, the way that he was communicating. You know, the game was well and truly over, but this guy was competing on every play. He was putting himself in the contest, and I really felt for him. I kind of had a moment for him and thought, you know what, last week he had to make sure that, you know, he came out and he did all the right things, and he, you know, he got some accolades and whatever, but it was always about backing that up week after week. And I thought he did that really well last night. So what if he's just walking off and he's exhausted, he's just put everything into the contest and he had a little moment? You know, I don't
emotion
think
has got it.
An emotion got to him. It could be something as simple as that.
But
why shouldn't
he have
that moment?
Yeah, he can have that moment, and he doesn't have to come out and tell us that
and
that's what
does
it
Wayne,
is.
Does he?
No, I think it's... He doesn't have to come out and explain that at all. I completely agree with both of you there.
Absolutely, absolutely. A couple of calls already on 133353. Chris from Epping. G'day, Chris.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Yeah, well, what are your thoughts?
Well, two points. And the first is just on what Gerds was saying. There seems to be this notion still, we're trying to destigmatize mental health, but we're assuming that if someone cries, there is something wrong, or they have a problem, or they are weak. And as Gerd said, he could have just been releasing a valve of pressure. Mm-hmm. He could have been proud of himself. He could have, you know, people cry when they watch an ad on TV. Like, we're not always crying because there's something wrong. And so I think to ask the question, because we assume he's got something wrong with him, that just takes us a step back in destigmatizing mental health.
Yep.
And the second thing is, I think there's also a trust issue. Certain media outlets have given Latrell Mitchell a very hard time at the beginning of this year. And so to then go and ask really personal questions of him when that same organisation have been some of the cheerleaders for giving him a hard time about the Aboriginal flag and the Australia Day stuff and the quarantine stuff, the behaviour with Josh Addo-Karp. I think there's got to be a mutual respect there to invite a Wayne Bennett or a Mitchell to want to share what might be the problem, if there is a problem.
Good point, Chris. Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Great call. Well, thanks,
very
Chris.
Well said.
Thank
very
you.
Well said.
And people, look, it is, people have so many different reasons to cry. I mean, MasterChef Eliminations, I cry every single time. Tony is called from beautiful Claremont Meadows. G'day, Tony.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Yeah, good, bud. What do you think?
Not too bad. Look, I'm a Penrith supporter, and good on you, MG. We got Melbourne up, but Wayne Bennett is a top coach. He's a top coach. He's not only a coach, he's a good mentor. And if there, I watched on Fox Sports what he said. I thought he presented himself well and said what he had to say, and that's Wayne Bennett. At the end of the day, Wayne Bennett says what he wants to say, and that's it.
Yeah.
But I think the media have to respect the right that there's a time and place to put cameras on and turn cameras off, put microphones on, turn microphones off. Obviously, there's a problem with Latrell, and I believe Wayne Bennett will help sort that out.
Yeah, I think that's very, very true, Tony, and Wayne Bennett certainly has that reputation as being somebody who... I mean, and MG, do you like the notion of him being a protective... And he's a father figure to many of those guys.
I've said often on Triple M over the last 15 years since I've been on here that one regret of mine in rugby league is I was never coached by Wayne Bennett. I always wanted to be coached by him. I wanted to see firsthand what he was like because I played a lot against teams... he was coaching, and now once I retired in 2000, I've been watching teams he's coached, and I love the way he protects his players. I think that's something he'll never lose. He's a very much a father figure, and it's an intriguing conversation. Gerds, what you said was what I'm thinking is going on. I think relief after starring last night and after finally getting the fullback role. Could have just been that. And I'm not going to speculate because we can't speculate. Yeah. But I just think the raw images of him in the dressing room with Wayne Bennett's arm around him, but I think any person with a heartbeat would have cared for him at that moment.
Yep,
the amount of pressure that you see get put on these guys, the guys who are just at the absolute peak and the best guys in most professional sports, is nothing compared to the pressure they put on themselves, Tony. Mm. I would say that. Gio, I come out and said it. And the reason that he said he needed to retire, have a break when he did with South, was because he couldn't live up to his own expectations. So don't worry about all the pressure that we put as media and fans and whatever. These guys have so much drive that it's daunting for them. It's heavy. It's a heavy load to carry. So when they come out and they actually can put a performance together or a run of performances sometimes, and I've been through it as well, where you don't necessarily do it in the sheds, but you do it at home or you do it with family or you sit down with your parents and you just look in the eye and you say, you know, how am I going? Like, what am I doing? And and you have those moments, and it might have just been as simple as that.
Meredith has given us a call as well. Meredith, g'day.
Yeah, hey guys, how you doing?
Yeah, well.
So I just wonder, you know, when we became such an age of entitlement where we think that we, you know, need to know the personal stories of what's going on. And I just think it's ridiculous. As has been said, we don't know whether this is a mental health issue. We don't know if he's just, you know, simply upset about, you know, the potential eye gouging. You know, if it is mental health, it's Latrell's story to tell. It's no one else's. It's a personal story. I personally suffer from depression, and I'm open about it because I think it does help to remove the stigma. But that's my story. It's not up to anyone else to say, well, we need to know, when it's the fans want to know. Well, need to know and want to know are two very different things. So, you know, the balance has to be worked out.
Well said. No, I got home last night and I was watching the Fox coverage of it, and I must admit it was awkward. I saw an ex-player of Wayne Bennett's, Corey Parker, demanding answers, demanding we know. Well, no, Corey. No, mate. We don't have to know anything about your personal life. And we have to know anything about Latrell's personal life. It's called personal life because it's personal. And once they run over that line to play footy, yeah, we can judge them by what they do on the footy field. And if they stuff up, we judge them again. But we don't judge them when they're sitting in the dressing room with the coach's arm around him in tears. That's asking too much. And I think there's a line that's got to be drawn in the sand before we really get, you know, carried away with ourselves. It's a game of footy. And we're watching a young bloke in tears in a dressing room, and you know, I felt like sitting there putting my arm around him. I wish I could. You can't be an ex-teammate of or an ex-player like Corey is, and I expect more from Corey, to be honest. He's you don't demand that we know. Like, put out the fire? What fire? Who says there's a fire? Who says? Well, because you want answers? No, we don't want answers. We want him to move on and get over this and be the Latrell we know, and hope that other kids who are sitting there watching Latrell in tears say, you know what, it's all right to cry. It's all right to have a tear. If anything he did last night was break down a stigma by openly crying on, he didn't know he was on cameras, I know that, but in the dressing room, I commend him on what he did. And I condemn anyone who says we need answers. We don't need answers.
It's a Saturday scrum. Back shortly.
The Triple M Saturday scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler, Mark Guy, Tony Squires with you. Just wrapping up on cameras in the dressing rooms. I kind of miss the days when they weren't allowed in. Yeah. As a kid watching, there was that moment when those doors would open, teams would go in, and what would it be like in there?
I tell you what, if they were around when I played, there was a certain time at Campbelltown Stadium in 1990 when I got sent off. If the cameras were on then, they would have seen some real carnage. They would have seen a chair going through windows. They would have seen toilet doors being thrown off. They would have said, oh, my goodness, thank goodness. Like, thank God we went around for social media guys.
Well, I was going to say, like, it started coming in at the back end of my career. So, like, early 2000, maybe 2002, we started seeing the cameras. What I didn't like about it was it changed guys' attitude in the dressing room. So it changed their environment. So their preparation became different. Guys that were just normally happy to come in and sit down and have a chat and stay relaxed, all of a sudden, you know, started wearing headphones and dancing around and picking things up. Like, guys like, you know, our mate Dell.
Yep.
Always did the same thing, never changed for the camera, but some other guys didn't know how to handle it. And it used to affect their performance or the whole team sort of environment in their preparation.
I wonder if they're used to it now, though, that it's so common. I mean, most days at training, there'll be a couple of days a week where we're there with cameras at training as well. I mean, potentially now, there's probably some that it does affect, but we're in their faces literally all the time. Mm. So I wonder, especially over the last 2 years where the access has really improved, whether it's one of those things the young guys coming through just have to accept that it's part and parcel of the game now.
Emma, what's going on with Wade Egan?
Wade Egan. So we saw that there was footage. It looked like an eye gouge on Latrell Mitchell. He's copped a grade 2 contrary conduct charge. So he'll get 1 week if he takes the early guilty plea. Now, it didn't look like... It was kind of like a half-half. It didn't look like an obvious eye gouge like, the ones we saw from Hudson Young last year where he first time he got 5 weeks, second time he got 8 weeks.
It was more like the adjustment of a contact lens, that kind of
thing. Well, just like a little, not a gouge, just a little, slight.
Well, it was like he knew he was doing it, then all of a sudden pulled out. He knew his hand was near Latrell's eye and he went, I better get out of there. And then but Latrell got up and that was kind of the moment we thought that maybe he was,
referencing.
Referencing tone. But, you know, I don't think it was because I think they got on with it. And his performance didn't suffer after that anyway.
No, how good was he?
Imagine they just take the early guilty plea because often, same with Hudson Young, despite the fact that the opposition player still denied it was an eye gouge, he denied it was an eye gouge, he still got time. So I think...
Hudson Young's was pretty...
It was, completely different.
Could see his finger coming out the ear.
Yes, he could. take the one
But he's straight back in. He's straight back in, Hudson Young, for the Raiders. Ricky's got a lot of faith in that young guy, and in not just his football ability, but his character. Be interesting to see how that goes around. All right, look at that Tyre Power scoreboard. The Panthers, as we said, 21-14 winners over the Storm. It was a great performance. Nathan Cleary continues in he's come back, obviously, a couple of games in, and the control, the tempo of his performance is so impressive.
Yeah, his development over the past 12 months has been incredible. I mean, obviously, he's had the experience now with a couple of Origin series under his belt. But, you know, I just like the way that the speed in which he's playing the game at the moment. I mean, when he gets the football, it's just like everything around him slows down. He's got so much time, especially with his kicking game. He likes to sort of run across, drift across field and turn guys back under. And we saw with the field goal, the composure last night. So He's got a lot of help around him at the moment, but, I mean, defensively, that right side, him, Liam Martin and Farre, I mean, Cameron Munster, that dominates every team he plays down that left-hand side, had to come looking over on the right last night to set up their two tries. And, you know, he's always going to find a way to trouble any defence, yeah. Cameron Munster. But I spoke about it in the intro, Tone. Their appetite for contact and the aggressive way they go about their football, especially with that middle rotation. They start off led by Fisher-Harris, you know, and they, you know, when those guys, and Yeo's doing some really good things out the back, and Tarmow, and when those guys get a rest and they bring on Tedovano and Leota, you know, who just sort of up the tempo just a little bit more, their edges too, we spoke about kick out, and everyone understands how good he is with the football. He's super aggressive, Tony, super fit. I think he played 80 minutes last week, had about 10 minutes off last night. And Liam Martin is so uncompromising on the other side. He's a guy that if you've got any of your body showing and you're held in tackle, he's coming in at 100 miles an hour and it's going to hurt, yeah. You know. And there's people that just don't want to run at guys like that, especially playmakers. And with those two guys really trying to bully playmakers on the edge, the middle doing so well, and their back three just bringing the ball out so well, and the composure of their halves. And then there's Api Korosau, who just put on an absolute clinic against one of the best packs in the competition last night. Yeah, they're showing all the signs. You know, a loss last week against some good opposition. They play the Bunnies next week, and that'll be another game where they need to show their credentials. But they're looking good at the moment.
You impressed with what you've seen, MG?
Oh, yeah, their forwards totally out-muscled Melbourne's forwards. They just, from the very start of the game, Isaiah Yeo was in career best form. Fisher-Harris, it looks like he's put on 3 or 4 kilos of muscle. Tedovano's been a fantastic acquisition from the Roosters. So I remember in the late 80s when Peter Kelly came to Penrith as a premiership-winning forward from the Bulldogs. He kind of taught us young blokes who were at Penrith how to be tough and how to get through things and how to manage your expectations. And I think what he's done for this young forward pack cannot be undenied. I think Tedovano is one, like we keep talking about Korosau, and probably Korosau at the moment, Appy is the buy of the season in my eyes after, you know, 6 rounds. But Tedovano's impact, every time he comes on, Penrith just seemed to go to the next level. Nathan Cleary's game is reached the consistent level of an origin player. And I think last night proved that with the field goal, and his defence was fantastic. They're legit. We spoke about who can win the comp on Thursday night when we were watching the other game, and I kind of thought three teams. There's Canberra, there's the Roosters, and there's Melbourne. Well, add Penrith to that. And tonight, if the Parramatta Eels give it to the Roosters and go close to beating them or maybe beating them, we'll add them as well. But at the moment, them four teams are head and shoulders above the rest. And Parramatta have been fantastic as well. But Penrith, yeah, they proved to me last night they're legit.
Second win for Penrith over Melbourne in 14 years in 20 games. Second win in 20 games.
It's an awful place to go and play down there.
Melbourne was back in the day. But yeah, absolutely. But they do look the goods. Even though, as you said, Cameron Munster was terrific. That pass for the Branko Lee try on the right was a beautiful thing to look at.
Cameron Munster is a freak. Literally anything that is going well for the Melbourne Storm, usually Cameron Munster is involved in. But Craig Bellamy was, he was filthy after the match, and essentially it just said that last Viliami kick-out try to the Panthers, which won them the game, pretty much summed up their effort. That's what he thought, because there was not a Storm player in sight. There, you know, 6 of them sort of 5 to 10 metres away. No one was contesting the ball and no one was there to stop Viliami kick-out. So that's what he was most disappointed with. And whether you want to say it was un-Melbourne-like or not, Craig Bellamy certainly thought that was not the brand of footy that he's used to, which is, you know, usually Melbourne's game based on effort and staying in that grind. And it didn't really seem to be that Melbourne side. And he questioned his players and said, well, we have to really figure out what type of footy team we want to be. Who are we? So that would hit a nerve with his players. I'd imagine he would have given them an absolute serve.
Indeed. And if he wasn't happy with his players or with that game, he probably wasn't happy with the story during the week about him allegedly discussing with the Bulldogs about a move to Canterbury. This is what he had to say about that.
I didn't read the story. I don't want to read the story because what's in there isn't true. I haven't spoke to anyone from the Bulldogs, so you know I can't sort of wipe that out and say, oh, the manager did. I haven't got a manager now. So at the end of the day, that's not an issue either. At the end of the day, it irks me a bit, but that's part of our game these days. Anything can get written and no one's accountable for it.
Interesting, isn't it? I love what's the story?
He loves some accountability, Billy, doesn't he? Don't play for the Melbourne Storm if you don't want to be accountable for what you do. It makes sense there, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I like what he said, though. He has a valid point that a lot of the time you see with the players saying, no, I haven't heard anything about that, but it can be the managers shopping them around.
Yeah.
But if, in fact, he doesn't have a manager now acting on his behalf, and I think every now and then, sure, I work in the media, but there is a license at times. Mm. If someone is confident with their information, they can run with it, mm-hmm. potentially. And so for Craig Bellamy to come and call someone out on that, I'm all for that. And Craig Bellamy is the type of figure where you think, you hear him say that and you trust that is correct. Whereas at times there are, you know, rumours, players like maybe James Roberts is coming to South and Wayne Bennett denies it, but you think, well, no. It's always going to happen. But, I mean, when I listened to Craig Bellamy, I was confident, particularly given he is good friends with Dean Pay,
yes.
which I think is what really hurt him, the fact that Dean Pay's a good mate. So you would think he wouldn't be having those conversations with the Bulldogs if that's his good mate.
Yep. And that's the first time, Emma, I think I've heard a coach reference another coach about how they're feeling about hearing this news.
Mm.
That's why I believe Bellamy last night as well. I think what he was saying, you could tell it was coming from the heart. You know, he even said, look, I'm 62. This could be my last, probably will be my last contract. He said, I'm more disappointed in how it's affecting my good mate Dean Pay at the Dogs. I haven't heard another coach say that before about the emotions of another coach when being, you know, muted that might be going there. Or, you know, it's so I believe Bellamy every day of the week.
Yeah.
He's a statesman of the game. You know, he's his success speaks for itself, but I think his honesty does as well.
Yeah. All right. A little while I might talk about his take on people who have never been involved in footy and their opinions on certain
players.
Should
we ask Kenty what he thinks about that?
We might. I think if you read today's Telegraph, you'll find out exactly what Kenty thinks about that because it's all there in black and white. This is the Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G. Comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Lovely to have a company on this Saturday afternoon, MGM, Gerds and Tony with you, looking again at that tyre power scoreboard. South Sydney 40, the Warriors 12. And a man once again instrumental in a win for South Sydney is the man in the number 13. He was the 2019 Deli M Lock of the Year, playing great footy again in season 2020. I'm talking about Cam Murray. G'day, mate. Congratulations.
Hey, guys. Thank you.
So obviously the Warriors, who have had an up and down season and a lot of emotion about where they are going on and what they have to go through for this game, but you guys just do the business.
Yeah, I guess we performed pretty well last night. I think attack especially when we were able to complete sets and hold the ball. But yeah, I think we're building nicely. We're not perfect yet, but we're getting there.
Yeah, it's been quite a change for, you know, the Rabbitohs lineup than we've seen over the last couple of years, Cam, with, you know, Big Sam gone and obviously Johnny Sutton and George, but some new guys coming through really really doing a good job, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Everyone knew that they all needed to step up their own individual games with Sam and obviously Sutto and GI retiring last year, so we knew we were in for a big year and collectively we needed to step up. So, yeah, I think, like you said, I think a few boys, especially up front, I think Tom Burgess and Junior Totola are really leading the way for our forward pack there, especially at the start. I think they've had two really great games leading the forward pack there. So, yeah, they're just some of the few boys that have stepped it up this year.
It was such a good game from Cody Walker and really special as well in his 100th game. What do you like most about playing with him, not just on the field, but I guess just the type of character that he is to have at the club?
Yeah, it's great to have Cody around. He's a very passionate sports player and he's great to be around. He's a bit of a larrikin, loves a laugh and obviously, he's the ultimate professional as well. You know, when it's time for business, he puts his head down and get stuck into it. He's a great leader on the field as well. He's a great instinctive player and great attacking half. So he's a great asset to our side and obviously showed what he's made of last night.
He was a late bloomer. He didn't debut till he's 26. I think he's about 31 now. But he looks like he could go for another few years still, don't you think?
Yeah, I think his body's pretty fresh as far as I know. And obviously, like you said, he was a bit of a late bloomer, but I think he's matured really well. And he sort of let us know last night when he received his 100th game jersey from Sutto in the jersey presentation, you know, how big a journey he's been on and the roller coaster that he's had. But I think he's really matured nicely and into a leader for our club and someone who, you know, he's someone who's really proud for what he stands for and stuff like that and how he plays the rugby league. So he's a great player and he's great to be around.
Seemed like the band was back together last night, Cam. When I say the band, you and Cookie, when you play the ball, I think you got the fastest play of the ball in the land. Damien Cook last night showed how potent he is when you're in the middle of the field with your quick play of the balls. He was back to his best last night.
Yeah, it was. It's been nice to be in the middle there with Cookie and sort of teeing up that combination we sort of had last year. I still don't think it's perfect, but I think we're getting there together, obviously. Match fitness comes into it a lot, and I think we're both getting a little bit more fit and obviously playing on the back of that and stuff like that. So, Cookie's got a great running game like he showed over the last couple of years, and I think he's growing in confidence every game, and we're trying to play to each other's strengths, and I think we saw glimpses of that last night, but I still think that the best is yet to come.
Yeah, and same with the guy at the back who's who had really two good performances back-to-back, Latrell. I spoke about it before at the back end of the game last night, defensively, how vocal he was. Now, he's a guy at fullback now. It's an important role that he was sort of pushing you guys around. How have you found him adjusting to that role? Seems to be, obviously, we all know what he can do with the football, but defensively seems to be making a big contribution to how you guys, you know, number up in defense.
Yeah, for sure. His Latrell's been great for us, especially the last couple of games. He's really kind of feeling comfortable in that number one role now, and everyone's kind of used to him at the back. Is communicating really well, and like you said, he come up. I think it was four try, like sort of try saving tackles he was involved in. And a fullback. That saves as many as he scores and sets up is a fullback that you love to have in your side. And obviously the trail's growing every game and he's getting better and better. So it's great to see him enjoying his footy and great to see him really, stepping it up out the back there and proving to everyone, you know, how good a player he is.
And what about how's Tom Amone? I mean, obviously devastating that he's out for the rest of the season.
Oh, really? Is that true?
What, he's, yeah.
He's media. Oh, my goodness. Poor bugger.
Yeah, I know. It's a real shame for him. I feel really sorry, and I feel for him. He's a great young player and gives his all every week. And one of those players that you trust beside you and one of those players that I don't think he's really, hit his best yet. So it's a real shame for him. But, we're a family club and we'll get around him and we'll make sure that he gets through this tough period and hopefully comes back bigger and stronger.
Talking to Cam Murray. Mate, I don't want to take you any place that you don't want to go. We talked about Latrell Mitchell a little earlier today. But just to the coach, his role as for you and for the rest of the team as somebody who is a player protector but also that kind of father figure, how do you react to that? How has he been for you?
How's Wayne been for me?
Yep.
Yeah, he's been great. Like you said, you kind of summed it up really well there. He's kind of like that father figure and to all the boys, and he's someone who's very approachable. You're open and upfront with him about everything, and, he's the first person to stick up for you and stand beside you when, in the good times and in the bad. So he's just one of those coaches that the players really put a lot of trust in because, you know, he does the same towards us. So sticks up for everyone and he's a kind of coach that you really want to put your best foot forward and give your all every week for. So that's the type of coach he is. And yeah, it's been great for me over the last couple of years having Wayne there as a mentor and a coach and a friend there to sort of lean on for some guidance and wisdom for me growing as a player and, you know, even for me now trying to get better every week. So he's been great.
Next Thursday, Cam, looms as a blockbuster. You travel to Campbelltown to take on the Panthers after their really impressive win over the Storm last night. What do you like about the Panthers?
Yeah, they're a great side. I think they've got a lot of energy, got a lot of young players doing a lot of good things for them. Obviously, Viliami out in the edge is a you know strike for them, and he's played a you know a few good games and really shown what he's made of. And obviously, Nathan Cleary there running the show is. He's a competitor that doesn't. There's not many better competitors in the NRL than Nathan Cleary. So we're going to have to be on our A game. I think we're going to have to be a lot better than we have been the last 2 weeks, especially in terms of our ball control and building pressure and stuff like that. So something that we'll look forward to improving this week, and hopefully we'll get the job done.
Well, Cameron Murray, congratulations on your continuing fantastic form. Thanks so much for having a chat. Appreciate it.
No worries, guys. Thank you.
There he is. Special player.
How impressive is he? How impressive.
The number 13s across the competition, MG, just phenomenal. We talked a little bit about it last week. There is still plenty to come. Might play a bit of 3 and 5. Remember, Sturlo joins us at 2 o'clock as well. So much ahead on the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Nice to be with you. I think we've just got the right amount of time for this.
Ladies and gentlemen, 3 in 5.
I love Tony Sessions. I love the 3 in 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 3 in 5.
Last week, MG, very competitive person that she is.
Oh.
She almost let slip a profanity on air because
almost
she did very
is the
poorly.
Key word.
Almost, them.
Well, I reckon, yes.
She's very. I hate to
put it. She was 2/3 of the way there, can I tell you that? Or 3/4.
Oh, okay.
Is where she was.
So far out.
Absolutely. As you know, the little tiny bit of a theme this week and most weeks with them are 3 and 5, with the questions being simple. The answers being simple, just the time pressure is what gets to people with the 5 seconds to get those 3 answers correct. Cameron Smith has turned 37 just a couple of days ago.
Wow.
I'm not sure why people are so unkind to Cameron Smith. Who's unkind to Cameron Smith?
Oh, you know, talking about how he rides the referees and so on and so forth.
We should be celebrating Cameron Smith every day and respecting exactly what he's done. So in this little quiz, it's just kind of bruising on Cameron Smith, basically.
Really?
It's not a full-on Cameron Smith quiz, but because I'll start with you, Emma, just to get the swearing out of the way.
I promise I will not.
Okay, so Cameron Smith is 37 years of age.
Yes.
There are 6 players who are slightly younger than him but are all over 34 currently playing in the NRL. Can you name 3
all
of them?
All over 34. Oh.
Tick, 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 anywhere. I can do it. You've got 5 seconds. You've got 4, 3. It's not... Not working.
No.
None. You've got none.
I couldn't think of any of
it.
What was the question? The question was 3 current players in the NRL who are over 34 years of age.
Benji Marshall.
Benji Marshall is one. Gavin Cooper is another.
What about your brother?
James Graham.
Is he 34?
He's 31.
James Graham.
But Gavin Cooper. How old is Gavin Cooper over?
Yes, he is. Why would I lie to you? What would it be in motivation for me?
For me to swear, perhaps?
David Gower. Do we have any ticking clock there at all? Okay, well, that'll be good this time. All right.
I don't think you put the clock on. That's why I didn't think
it was. Yeah, of course. MG.
Yes.
Back in 1983, the year that Cameron Smith was born, it was the year also that the tries went from 3 points to 4 points.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Just a little bit of information for you. Could you name, it was in a top 5, not a top 8, 3 teams that were in the top 5 in 1983?
Manly, Parramatta, Bulldogs.
They are the top 3. Manly was the minor premiers. Parramatta, of course, won the competition, was second, and Canterbury, 3. Balmain and St George were the others. Well done. Okay, that puts some pressure on you, Ryan Girdler.
How many did MG get?
He got 3. There are only 3.
What happens if it's a tie?
It won't be.
No. Well, it could be.
Okay.
There are only 3 possible answers for this question.
Okay.
Cameron Smith, but could you name 3 other Camerons playing NRL this week?
McInnes, Cameron Murray, and Cameron Munster.
Oh, yes. Bang, bang, bang. It is a tie.
That's
so
that's a tiebreaker question.
Yeah, no tiebreaker question. Spell minuscule.
M-I-N.
Mm-hmm.
Min. I. S-C-U-L-E?
I'm afraid not. It's M-I-N-U-S-C-U-L-E.
Oh, there you go. There's a U in there.
There's a U in there.
Minuscule.
Exactly. Plenty to come. We are going to speak with Josh Mansour. We're going to speak with Jacob Saifiti. Sterlo joins us. So much ahead on the Saturday Scrum. All thanks to our good friends at King G.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.